Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess who's back? Back again. Miles and Jack. Tell a friend.
Okay, yeah, we worked on that. That was flawless. Yes, we're back together. The dynamic duo has returned. And guess what? We can't wait for the playoffs. We're salivating like the cartoons because the playoffs are here, and we'll discuss some of the exciting matchups, the regular season awards. Got to hand a few of those out. Mm-hmm. And plenty more with comedian, writer, and podcaster Sean Keane on today's episode. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is
Miles and Jack on Mad Bussies.
Yes.
3-on-1. Davis.
Love.
LeBron.
There you go.
Embiid driving, spinning, fading, hitting.
Curry, a three-pointer. Bang. Steph Curry from downtown again.
Giannis with the take. Uh-oh, look out. No showtime. What you got, Giannis?
We're back.
We're back. I've been holding my breath since the last time I was on with you. It's not gone well.
Yeah, you still look pretty grayish blue. I will say it's not the most flattering skin tone on you. But yeah, we did nail the intro as usual.
As usual.
But let's bring in our guest today. A hilarious guest. One of our favorites to come on the show. You probably know him from his podcast, Round Ball Rock. And you might know him even better because he's got a new comedy album coming out called America's Uncle Dad. Okay.
Big Dad please energy welcome. On this podcast.
Big Uncle Dad energy today. Yes. Woo! Please welcome to the microphone, Mr. Sean Keane.
Thank you.
How are you so much?
Thank you.
Good to have you, man. Good to have
Keane
you.
Keane from downtown.
Nailed it.
What's
How are you
good,
feeling, man?
I'm good. I'm excited about the playoffs. I think we got some good playing games, too. And I like that even in advance, I don't want to jinx anything. But I like that the Lakers and Grizzlies are already feuding even before their matchup set up. So that's
The games will be over, but we are explicitly this podcast is set before the Minnesota Los yeah. Angeles Lakers.
Like the tip off is like 2 hours away.
Near hours away. Miles is but going to explain why the Lakers should be the championship favorites.
Oh yeah. I mean, look at that path, you know. Just I love the seeding, you know. Yeah. We'll eat them all up.
Although Cakewalk, super
producer Jabari was like, I don't know about the Grizzlies, man. And yes, they are the roaches of the league, and that they are an indestructible force that defy all reason. That does scare me because that is the kind of team that would probably do us in. But as I look at it, I'm like, oh yeah, well, I guess you're gonna have to get through it to get to it. So you know, bring them, as we say.
I mean, I want to just This is, I feel like, the most, the West is the most wide open we've seen a conference, like, in years that I can remember. It just feels completely wide open. We went on FanDuel to look at the NBA Finals odds, and like they're really just all over the place. Like the Suns, the Warriors are the two, they have the best odds to make it out of the West. The Suns, right, the four seed, which for understandable reasons. The Warriors, your team, Sean, suddenly everybody, was it just the Clay quote being like, what? When we're healthy, I don't think anyone can beat us. And everyone's like, yeah, good point. All right. Yeah. They're the favorite. The Nuggets are the third favorite coming out. The Lakers, who are in the play-in, are the fourth favorite coming out of the West. The Grizzlies, the Clippers.
Are they doing that because they know Lakers fans are just like rabid enough to put massive amounts of cash down?
Maybe.
Like, yeah, we'll take that. We'll take that, actually.
They're like a Vegas public too. Team. Yeah. I don't know. It's right. Interesting. I mean, so this is how they have it ranked, just in terms, this is how the gamblers have it ranked. The public markets have the Bucks as the top favorite, the Celtics as the second favorite, the Suns, the Warriors, the Sixers in fifth place, the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Grizz, and the Clippers. So here, I'm just going to go through and tell you where I think the public is wrong. Okay. I think the Celtics should absolutely be number one over the Bucks after the thrashing that they gave them. Just generally, they've been the best team all season. They were consistently the most dominant team, other than, you know, they had their swoons, but it always felt like when they were falling off, it was because there was like a loss of focus. And then when it was a game that they needed to win, they would like win by 40. Like, it wouldn't even be close.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. The Bucks over the Celtics is confounding to me.
Is it anything to do with like no one coming back to the Eastern Conference Finals and that they think that might be like a disadvantage?
Yeah, I mean, I know that most of America are Boosties listeners, so they probably all know that fact by now. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe they just, you know, Giannis,
or is this disrespect? Because even I'm not a Celtics fan, but I'm certainly not a Celtics fan.
But they seem like the best team heading in, like kind of a clear best team to me.
Right.
I think it's only because they have to play the Sixers before they play the Bucks. I think the Celtics would be favored against the Bucks, but no one really respects the Cavs and Knicks, maybe.
Okay.
That's my thought.
I see that.
It's like if they were the top seed, they'd be like easily the favorite.
So I think fans, when you're pulling for a team all season, you have a little bit of like a sixth sense that you develop about that team. And I will say, I think the Sixers should not be ranked as high as they are on this. Barring injury, like beyond just the like Robert Williams being unreliable and, you know, maybe being hurt, I don't like even with Robert Williams in or out, barring injury, the Sixers are not getting past the Celtics in the second round. Like that's it's a wrap. As far as I'm like, unless one of their like main three perimeter players, it's just the worst matchup. Nothing against the Sixers. It's just like, and you have, I don't know. So, sometimes maybe being a fan, like I'm overly cynical about this, but it just feels like they don't have, like that matchup does not work in their favor. Like but you know, maybe they're fifth because the Celtics could get injured or something. I don't know.
I just don't know how you could feel like you're going to be disappointed by Doc Rivers or James Harden or Joel Embiid in the playoffs, especially in a second round series.
The first 2 points, I grant you with enthusiasm. Joel Embiid has been like concussed or had his face broken. And everyone's like, he's a choke artist. He's choking on pieces of his face. He's had his face broken multiple times.
He has a piece of bone floating in his eye socket.
So I don't know. I expect big playoffs from him. I expect a big, you know, second round from him. I just don't know that it's going to be enough. It doesn't seem like it's enough to come close to beating the Celtics. All right. But I want to talk to you guys about your teams, because the Lakers, they've been like the second team that I'm pulling for. And I have a similar feeling, like even with the game against Utah, which they needed it, right? Like the 82nd game of the season, like they were trying to win that game. The other games that determined seeding weren't wrapped up as of yet. And even in that game, like having rooted for this Lakers team all season, I wanted to see them put the stomp on Utah. I watched your Warriors put the stomp on Portland. And as I was checking the score, I was like, this is going to be like a 2-point game. But I just knew it heading into the fourth. Like, there's just something about this team where when they most need it, when you're most like, well, they're going to show up and put the stomp down on like now, they just don't do it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what you said is all true and valid. But my thing is, I'm not living in the same reality as most NBA fans.
Right. Where you are a Lakers fan.
I'm a Lakers fan.
You live in Laker Nation.
No. I'm a sovereign citizen of Laker Nation. And whenever I interact with the police, they don't like it. But I got to say, man, like, it's one of those things where, like, I just feel the only thing that gives me hope is just a weird run and a little bit of momentum that we can carry from game to game. Because there were moments before where, like, I was telling Jabari, we're like, yo, okay, we got something here. I can get behind this. But then you'd have some performances where you're like, I really would have liked to see a little bit more dominance there. And it doesn't happen, which shows that I'm like, you know, Jabari was saying this before, and I agree with him completely. It's going to be feast or famine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I haven't seen that much feasting this season, I guess is my problem. I haven't seen that much feast.
Oh, you should have seen it against Chicago.
I've seen them pick at their food.
You see it against Chicago when Austin Reeves hit Pat Bev with that too small. Oh, That's what I'm talking about. But yeah, I think it's gonna be tough. I think I said last week, I'm very realistic. If we get to the second round, I'm gonna have a party for myself. Yeah. I have no expectation. However, I will say this: without the game being played against Minnesota, we are going to absolutely destroy them. Okay.
Yeah.
You could put this on a plaque, and we'll visit this next week when I know the Lakers have done what they're going to do to the Wolves. And if they don't, guess what? I don't care.
Ray J style.
I don't care. And guess I'll put on my Grizzlies jersey.
It's so crazy in this game that the Lakers have basically every advantage imaginable.
It's shaping out to be a blowout win for the Wolves.
Yeah.
Okay.
that's what potentially happens.
And maybe they take care of business tonight. The matchup with the Grizzlies, it feels like there's a lot of narrative of the Lakers, you know, this is a great matchup for the Lakers, but like, I don't know, man. Grizzlies have that last season. They have that experience from last season. I feel like that people are ignoring it because they like don't really like the Grizzlies kind of became uncool at some point this season. And like, they feel underrated to me at this point, heading into the playoffs. Like, the Grizzlies feel like they could play really well throughout the playoffs and, you know, surprise a lot of the people.
Yeah, no, I could totally see that. And again, I mean, just based on how they even figure out how to do it without like Ja or Adams or anything like that, you're like, somehow there's like a squad there that pulls for each other that can get it done.
I mean, they have this weird thing where Ja is the biggest star, like one of the biggest stars in the league, but they play just as well or better without him. So I think that also like doesn't compute with like the fan brain of like how you're supposed to think about an NBA team. So like that probably also takes away from their narrative momentum, but I don't know that the narrative momentum actually matters that much in a playoff series.
Jabari dropped an interesting stat, which is they were 20-5 without Ja last year and then 7-7 without him this season.
Okay.
So, you know.
And then it just seems like the most movement I've seen in the last couple of weeks as the season's coming to an end, there's been a big movement onto the Warriors bandwagon. Sean, I have not watched the Warriors with a rooting interest this season. Yeah. I don't have a gut about where this is coming from or like whether it's earned. Well, as a Warriors fan, what are you feeling?
I mean, it's not really earned except that they're playing the Sacramento Kings in the first round. And that's like, you know, they have had a lot of injuries. Like, Andrew Wiggins played like 45 games this year. Steph Curry played 50 something games. And now they have Gary Payton's back. But mainly, I mean, they've just kind of been messing around all season. Mm-hmm. Like even in the games where, you know, they played the Kings on Friday night, like they had to win to stay out of the play-in. And the Kings benched like four starters and they got a big lead. And then they just they like run out of bounds more than any NBA team I've ever seen. And, you know, just throw ridiculous fast break pass. Yeah. Like they're constantly trying to fast break and like throwing it over the backboard. And I guess like last year they were also kind of doing that. And then they stopped doing that mostly in the playoffs, but they have not been very good. They also don't really blow out teams like you would maybe expect. And I guess maybe they have a little bit more of a bench now, but the only reason I feel confident is that they get to play the Sacramento Kings while the second round opponent is going to be, you know, a bloodbath between the Grizzlies and Lakers.
Right.
Now, look, I'm going to say this and then they're going to lose in five games to the Kings, but just, you know, they've beaten the Kings like 10 out of 11 and just, I feel like the Kings always get a lot of former Warriors and I don't know. I mean, the last time Harrison Barnes was in a Warriors jersey, he was just bricking threes in the NBA finals. So I just feel like the Warriors have a big confidence advantage in this series coming up. Other than that, like I wouldn't pick them against the Suns.
Right.
Maybe not the Nuggets, maybe not the Lakers, but I think they might just kind of luck out because of the bracket.
Yeah.
Mm.
The Suns seem impossible to pick for me, but I mean, with the Warriors going against the Kings, they've been bad on the road, like real bad on the road, and they don't have home court advantage. Like it's weird to me that everyone's like, yeah, but they're getting Wiggins back, and like just this thing where it seemed like all season everyone was just waiting for them. They're like, yeah, but here come the Warriors, and they're putting them together now. And they're doing it again with the playoffs. And I don't know. We've seen it happen before where team that was, you know, the defending champ just kind of is like, all right, now it's on switch time. But it just feels like they would have done it a couple times in the regular season, like and gone on a run of like 10 in a row without everyone being like, what is happening with the Warriors? So I don't know. I personally think Celtics, Nuggets, and Grizz are being underrated probably the most.
I think the Grizzlies for sure.
Yeah.
And then their reward is going to be playing the Lakers in the second round. The first round.
Yeah.
So
maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. Or maybe we got to take down the Nuggets.
Yeah, that's right.
So you guys, Sean, you're off the Nuggets. You feel like they're...
No, I like them. I think they're going to play... I mean, it's just... I just feel like the Suns are impossible to predict because they haven't played together that much. I don't think they've lost with Kevin Durant, but also I don't think there's been a playoffs where either Chris Paul or Kevin Durant hasn't got hurt in like 5 years.
Right.
So, and you know, I mean, it was weird watching them against the Clippers because they had their bench guys were really giving the full strength, totally trying Clippers a real battle. So maybe people are kind of sleeping on the Suns and, but yeah,
I mean, they're the top pick. They're the number one coming out of the West. They're the top pick on FanDuel, a sponsor of this show.
Well, FanDuel, great site. I'm going to bet a lot right on that with a promo code. Probably I'll hear on this episode. But the Nuggets, I think the Nuggets are a little discounted because of, so it's two things. They kind of slumped when they had the top seed locked up. And then the MVP debate was so crazy this year. Like, I can't remember there ever being players, basically, like organizations running like attack ads against MVP candidates. Right. And so every time Jokic, you know, missed some shots, you just see like everybody everywhere's like, that's it. That's why Embiid's better. Or like, you know, Embiid sits out a back-to-back in Denver, and it's like, that guy is a coward. He's afraid to play Nikola Jokic. And so people sort of like forgot that the Nuggets basically clinched the top seed with a month to go, you know?
So we'll see. We'll see if the Lakers are even in the playoffs.
We'll see the Lakers just do their thing. It's so nerve-wracking. I'm not gonna lie. Part of it is like it's the perfect way to lose for the Lakers.
Yeah,
like for all the reasons Sean pointed out, I'm like, this is the exact way they lose. It's exactly how they lose. And it's exactly how the other fans derive their little bit of life force from watching all of us go like, what the heck happened over there?
By the way, can you imagine how much Patrick Beverly is going to enjoy just watching the TV and hating both teams?
Like, seriously.
Oh, I hate the Wolves for leaving. I hate the Lakers for getting there.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And it's time to go on an award tour with Miles, my man.
I wish we could have just played that. Yeah, we on a war tour with Miles, my man. Counting each and every vote with the votes in our hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's we've had a few things to wrap our heads around this season, and I think we could I think it is time for us to hand out some awards along with Sean Keen. Shall we just go down category by category, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the big one is MVP, most valuable player of the year.
Uh-huh.
I think they're going to give it to my man, Embiid, personally. Just seems like the narrative turned on that Celtics game, and let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it almost feels like a Leonardo DiCaprio Oscar.
Right.
You know, where it's like, man, he's getting close. He's getting closer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can't do him like that another year. Okay, here it is. Even though you only fought a bear in this movie.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was actually trying at the end of the season. Like Giannis and Jokic were just taking games off, and Embiid was just dominating all his opponents. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have a theory too that why he was especially dominant this year. So you remember when he was first trying to make the All-Star team, and he asked if he made the All-Star team if Rihanna would give him her number.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, now she's had a child.
Right.
You know, she's pregnant again at the Super Bowl. And that was like enough he was able to leave the boy behind and become the man now.
Wow.
Now,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. He just, yeah. Oh, so he took the Rihanna poster from his wall down, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Single tear.
Exactly. Nice. Yeah.
Single he's giant focused. Tear rolling down his face.
Just chugged one file Shirley Temple and tore it down.
What do you think one tear, what the fluid volume is of one Embiid tear? Yeah. Like 32
like
ounces?
Like a shot glass? Yeah.
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 I think it's like a 40-ounce tear.
Yeah.
All right, we got the Coy, Coach of the Year. The main candidates, Mike Brown. Mark Degnault, who I'm obviously a big fan of. He's the coach of the NBA franchise that really surprised a lot of us. Oh yeah, OKC. All right. Hey, it's good that
he did a great job.
He did a great job. Also, my age, that guy,
Mark Degnault.
Mark Degnault. Yeah.
Yeah, Degnault. Joe Mazzulla, who's probably younger than...
I know. Actually, he's probably our age, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's 34. He's 34.
Yeah, he's younger than...
Yeah. Good for him.
He's younger than anyone I know.
he's the youngest person I've ever heard of. It's Joe Mazzulla.
And yet he's got that old man sense of humor.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, Joe Mazzulla's definitely, I think, got a great shout for that. Purely based... I think, like you touched on it, Jack, purely based on the sense of humor alone.
Yes. Yeah. One of the best jokes we've ever seen delivered to a room full of media. So funny, yeah. It stunned them to silence. The royal family.
Yeah, only one
of those that I'm aware of.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Remember when he demonstrated some kind of martial arts role? That's amazing. That was confusing to me
because that was very funny. The Jesus, Mary, Joseph one, not that funny. And then the martial arts thing was legitimately funny. I was like, wait, was the other thing that we were making fun of him about, like, actually him playing 4D chess comedy?
Well, and didn't he miss a couple games this year because he hurt his eye playing pickup basketball, and then was like, yeah, I play like 90 minutes of pickup basketball every single day. The media is like, what? Coaching a basketball team? And like, you're playing hard enough that somebody could scratch your cornea? Like,
just down there scrapping on the
weird
floor.
Guy. I mean,
diving into scrums for loose balls.
I hope he's a coach for like 40 years. Oh,
yeah.
It's been a delightful experience.
Mike Brown seems like I would love to see him win. For what he did in Sacramento.
Yeah.
But I think the Mazzulla, like everybody counting the Celtics out at the last minute in the offseason because he was the coach, and then them being one of the best teams, if not the best team all season. Yeah. If only someone had predicted that in their preseason episode.
One of the things Mike Brown did this year that was kind of great was he managed in a year where people yelled at refs probably more than I can ever remember and just like cursing out officials by name in press conferences, Mike Brown managed to make some speech about the Kings getting screwed on calls late and the NBA's response. He was like so measured that the NBA was like, yeah, we are actually messing up these calls. We gotta
gotta do better.
De'Aaron Fox
gotta have
free
a conversation
throws
here.
He gets hit. Yeah, that's We right, did hate the Kings. We didn't respect the Kings. He was right. He was right about us.
Guy called that's us out.
And yeah, we're guilty. Yeah.
Hey, we're mature enough to own that. Yeah.
Paolo Banchero is probably rookie of the year. I feel like, you know, Jalen Williams, Mathurin, both strong candidates, but it feels like it's Banchero.
Yeah. Banchero's, I think. Yeah. I wish there was something more interesting there.
Who's a Banchero?
Yeah,
if you're like the number one pick and you score the most points and I think maybe get the most rebounds of all the rookies, like he just didn't blow it at any point, you know?
Yeah. No, not at all.
He's awesome. Six Moy. What are we thinking?
Russell Westbrook.
I think Quickley's gonna win, but I actually like Bobby Portis. I think he's just like he's so good for the Bucks and shoots threes and plays defense, but I think they're gonna give it to Quickley.
Yeah.
And Brogdon's great. It's like, this is a weird year where there's this many good six-man candidates.
Six Moys.
I mean, like I said, I've been saying this in the beginning, it's going to be Russell Westbrook. You're going to see it. You're going to see it happen, folks. It's going to be right there. It's right in front of us. But also, Norman Powell, though, when I look at that name, too, when we played the Clippers, I was devastated by that man. So I don't know. Not that I'm like, and I have Stockholm syndrome now, but
yeah.
I was definitely impressed. Definitely impressed with him.
Also a great World War II general.
Yeah.
love his work there. My boy, most improved player of the year.
It's the weirdest award in the world.
Right. Yeah. Now, is it going to be like, what are we, what's the logic being applied this year? Is it like guy who became superstar from really good player or
like,
right.
Hey, where'd he come from? Hey, how about that? Huh?
Yeah, I mean, between it was SGA really weird. And Markkanen, right?
I mean, it was so Ja Morant's the weirdest one. This happens like every other time. It's like Kevin Love's the most improved player. And you're like, wasn't he the number three pick?
Yeah.
Ja Morant was already the rookie of the year and he was picked second. And then they're like, yeah, most improved. He did.
I believe it.
That was my argument going in, that it seems like that seems to be the trend for the past 5-6 is that like they give it to somebody who went superstar. Like what? Took it up to being like a perennial all-star, like all NBA candidate. But both of these guys feel like they are in that, like Markkanen's probably, you would be surprised if he wasn't a all-star or like a, you know, in the conversation for all-star next season. SGA would be the most jaw-like pick this year, but Markkanen feels like the most, like nobody was counting on this season, right?
So no, absolutely not. Especially too when we were like, yeah, man, they're gonna tank so hard.
Tanksville.
And you're like, whoop, and now the only tank he's messing with is a Finnish tank when he goes to do his military service this year.
Wait, so the last three were Ja, Julius Randle, and Brandon Ingram. What is it about leaving the Los Angeles Lakers that allows teams to players to get their
professional? Again, because it's not a good place to be for young players, because we don't understand the concept of improving over time as fans.
Yeah.
It's good to be young in Hollywood unless you're on the Lakers roster.
And then 100%.
I mean, it's a dangerous place either way.
But. Yeah, you're like, oh, you're making mistakes? You young player? Ugh, get him out of here. And then when they leave, we're like, we miss you, Kyle Kuzma. We miss you.
I don't know. Either great candidates, but Shea feels a little weird. Like it's in that jaw category of like, it's a little weird. We knew this dude was amazing.
Yeah. Lori feels more in the spirit of the award of like, hey, kid, you really, wow. We weren't expecting that from you. Way to prove us wrong and take it to another level.
And Jalen Brunson, any other year feels like easy win.
Oh,
like like he's been like a bunch of amazing candidates. Halliburton also has been amazing, but I feel like that was also something that people expected. Depoy seems to be between Brooke Lopez and Triple J. I think either good candidates. Evan Mobley is even being tossed around, which is wild since he's in his second year still, but I think I don't know. I might go Brooke just because it feels like it's kind of runoff most improved player type thing where it's like he's always been good defensively, but he really like stepped it up and anchored it and started getting some attention this year. But
yeah. And it's kind of cool that he went from being this just like bucket getter on a bad team to being like a 3-and-D 7-footer for a really good team.
Yeah. But Evan Mobley, like when you look at their defensive stats as a team, like he's anchoring the best defense in the league, which is pretty cool. And then, Embiid winning back-to-back scoring titles. He's my pick for boy
of the Embiid P. I think as Brian said in the chat, good one. Good pun there. I mean, enough of those lesser awards. Should we be giving out our own awards?
I think it's time
for the Boosties Awards.
Yes, sir.
Here we go, folks. This is the
Forgot About Dre Award.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Who's the Forgot About Dre Comeback Player of the Year for you, Jack? I think Jabari was narrowing it down to a few people, but where does your heart lie if you had to just speak a name for this?
I mean, it's got to be my man, James Harden. I think Harden makes the most sense here. They certainly forgot about James and heading into the season. People were, so here's the thing. This tends to happen with him after he plays badly in the playoffs. and people are like, yeah, that guy might not be that good anymore.
Oh, we forgot about that part.
All right, let's go Boosty's Dunk of the Year.
Okay, Boosty's Dunk of the Year. I think there's look, we can go through a couple. We can start off with Donovan Mitchell over Utah. Let's see that one. Ooh,
that's the Donovan over Utah was
over Johnny Utah. Over Watanabe Utah.
Utah, give me two.
1 minute gone by in the fourth. Nets turn it
He's getting
over.
Back. He's getting back.
Mitchell. Oh, oh. Look out.
Violence.
Oh, poster.
Yeah, that's poster.
It does feel like, all right, so Donovan Mitchell had an incredible season. I think maybe he could have been a recipient of the Forgot About Dre Award.
Yeah.
But it feels like he's not getting enough attention in the awards conversation, and he had such an amazing season. I feel like this would mean a lot to him to get the Boosties, Dunk of the Year.
I think we are kind enough gods to bestow that honor upon him. But I don't know. I mean, that's up there. Although I do feel like Utah kind of did this thing where, like, he's like, okay, I'm long enough. And at a certain point, he was just like, actually, let me just put my arms down. And then you can just do whatever you'd like, sir. And I'm just going to inbound the ball, and hopefully the play call will, the attention will be on the action
nice
on
dunk,
the other
sir.
End of the court.
Nice dunk.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic.
The I'm actually, because this is not my pick for Boosty's Doi, I'm actually going to change my pick for the Forgot About Dre Award to Donovan Mitchell from James Harden.
Okay, mine's going to be Russell Westbrook.
I'm going to pick Klay Thompson for that one.
Okay.
Although people talk about Klay Thompson all the time. It just,
But we forgot about that captain's hat.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I certainly did. Next one, Shaedon Sharpe on Draymond Green.
Ooh.
Let's check this one out.
Draymond Green on the baseline. Watford inside. And the cutting Shaedon Sharpe. Get out of the way.
I feel like this is a narrative one where people wanted to see some payback for the Draymond Jordan Peele video, or not Jordan Peele, Jordan Poole video, and this is getting votes because of that.
I mean, it's not that spectacular, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's violence, but it's not that spectacular.
But yeah, like, part of a good dunk though is you need the defender to truly be vanquished, in the sense that there is a belief on their side too when they go up. Like Utah, he at the last second, he's like, I lost. Draymond basically is like, he barely jumps.
Yeah.
He's sort of like, I'll get in the way, but like, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction here, which felt like a tremendous business decision on Draymond Green's part.
He jumps with both feet.
I guess maybe I'm not impressed with the elevation he gets.
He just he jumps as hard as he can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a big jumper.
I think he's just not used to this kind of vertical leap.
This one's pretty fun in slow motion. Miles is giving us a slow-mo look, and Draymond's legs are flying out like an action figure that just got ragdolled. It's pretty
good. He's trying
to
kick somebody. That's his natural defense mechanism.
Right, like a soccer goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Okay, that's in the conversation. How about Aaron Gordon over Landry Shamet? How about this one?
This one was pretty violent, and like a landing of a dunk has never...
The landing could have ended his life.
Here comes Aaron Gordon.
Oh, here comes AG. Sir.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you almost landed on your head, sir.
Well, Andy does it in OT up one with 24 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Off of a Landry Shamet miss, catches his rebound, and then comes down and, And they called it a charge, and then they reversed the call.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because look at it. He's basically trying to be like, I'm not going to jump, but I'm going to lean into it as much as I can to help this out. And this is where you're like, oh, sir. Like, at one point, it looks like Landry Shamet is doing the high jump, and he's trying to arch over the bar.
Yeah, he's doing the high.
Yeah, exactly.
Flop, man.
And then right here, the coming down from Aaron Gordon. This moment right here, like, there's this moment where he's like, where are my feet going to go? Because right now, your skull's underneath me.
Yeah.
And that's where the new parent in me is like, no, watch out. But it works out.
So one thing I like about Aaron Gordon as a dunker this year is that he had a pretty good year. And near the end of January, he made this statement that if he made the All-Star team, he would do the dunk contest. And the league was like, yeah, we're good, actually. And then a G Leaguer won the dunk contest, something that's eluded Aaron Gordon in three or four attempts at this point.
Oh, man.
So he kind of needs this dunk of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. Leading scorer in one of the Sixers' final games of the season, Mac McClung.
Wow. So, yeah.
I put up 20.
Delaware blue coat, I think.
Yeah. But he was in there in garbage time. It wasn't garbage time. It was the starters were mostly sitting, and he came in and got buckets. So
do we think there was a lot of pressure for the Sixers to give him a two-way like right before the All-Star game?
Oh, absolutely.
So he wouldn't be dunking in a G League jersey the whole time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
And finally.
I think we know the dunk of the year is going to.
Yeah. I think so. Those are all great candidates.
Those were good. But
and then we have Ja against the Pacers, against the laws of physics.
against everything we believed in scientifically. Yeah. Here we go.
Indiana, so 85-67 the count. Morant against McConnell.
He's getting too much momentum. Don't do it. Morant. Oh!
Jump with me if you want to go by.
Holy cow! Oh, my partner, did we just see that?
Oh, my partner.
Partner? Hey, partner, did we see that?
He also does a cool... So, okay. Pulls it all the way back.
Yeah.
When he lands, he does like a James Brown feint back into Stephen Adams, which is like, really cool.
I thought like Adams was going to put like a cape on him, like James Brown used to at the end. Like, oh,
cool. You're fanning him. Yeah.
Yeah. It is like if NBA 2K designed like a Ja Morant dunk for like the commercial, like this is what it would be. And you would be like, that's not realistic.
Look at how far the ball is cocked back. It's like below his shoulder, even. Yeah. Like, usually I'd be like, okay, you get it behind your head, but it's like, this thing's like at 4:30.
Yeah.
If I'm using like clock time, like how far back this thing is. I feel like I'm watching. Did you ever see like that swing portrait of Tiger Woods? So you can like actually understand how like the mechanics of his swing is like, no normal person can keep that arm straight as much as Tiger Woods does. Like, in this sense, I'm like, I want to see this dunk portrait because though how far back he has it, I'm like, I'm tearing my own, like I tore my labrum, like watching.
So that's my boosties doy for sure.
Yeah. And Jabari's point in the chat, he just said, these are literally from NBA Street, the video game. And I'm like, yeah, I think so. I can already hear Bobito doing the play-by-play on the sidelines.
You know, we also have next up boosties ballers for next year, breakout year expected. We're gonna hold off on that one. We're gonna do that at the end of the playoffs.
Okay, see how because obviously Austin Reeves is gonna just do his thing.
Some candidates we have: Tyrese Maxey, Austin Reeves, Al Shengun. These are all players who had big years this year. Al Shengun also wins my pick for boosties Eltoy, longest torso of the year.
That boy is all torso.
A lot of torso right there. And Cade Cunningham also on the list.
Let's let him cook a little bit before we start. Yeah. Before we go there.
And of course, James Wiseman. Of course.
Wiseman.
Hey, man. I think the wise man cometh. You know, we could see something from him. I'm not giving up on the wise
man. That honestly makes me think that the Pistons are going to get the top pick and get Wembanyama just because of Wiseman's luck. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
it's someone we're rooting for sure.
Everybody loves that guy. He's had some bad luck, but he seems like a really good dude.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back for the fastest segment in podcasting.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of his stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Sean,
I don't know if you remember.
This is your segment, man.
What return guests have often said they blacked out for because of the pressure, the speed.
Yeah.
So to remind you, to get you back up to speed, because the segment's all about speed. We're getting questions. They're gonna come fast and furious. You are responsible for keeping things rapid fire.
Yep.
We will be doing our part by just doing long, rambling, meandering.
I think we're being pretty concise.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Someone described us as succinct the other day, and I almost fell over in my chair. But yeah, you know the rules. So don't mess about, okay?
No,
don't end our streak we have going of this continuing to be the fastest segment in sports podcasting
in conjunction
with
NBA
and iHeart.
I want it to be spinning around like it's a cartoon.
And you're having to pull your collar to the side so Steve can pull out. But get ready, because this is the rapid fire round of questioning. Brian, start the clock.
It's been a while,
Jack. What do you think?
You want to go first?
Yeah, why not? I'll go.
Okay.
You're the older one. The kid should go first.
Here we go.
Sean Keane, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah. Is there a single NBA player you would take right now over the chance of taking Wembanyama with the first pick this summer?
I think I'd still take Giannis.
Now, why is that? What is it about Giannis? Yeah,
he just seems like he's the most like force of nature player. And
is it because he's from Europe too? Is that
he's from Europe? Like he likes weird foods. He got into a feud with Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Would I still have to employ at least one of his brothers? That might be tough.
Kind of comes with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of comes with it.
Like, and don't call them a Nepo baby. They hate that.
I'd just be like, could he be a broadcaster? Like, could he just be employed by the team in some other capacity? Or does he have to be on the roster? I think he has to be on the roster, though.
Yeah. Say, look, I love when there's like a duo like that in like European soccer. Like, you got to get, also my kid brother's also coming. And they're like, well, we don't have the money. Like, fine, but he's coming. My mom doesn't let me leave without him.
He's gonna be here,
so you might as well.
You might get him a uniform, or else it's gonna look weird.
He's gonna be on the court at the end of games, so put him in a jersey. Yeah,
please. All right, with Air coming out, I want you to pitch me another NBA movie taking place around a star without anyone playing the star. Just contextual NBA movie that you want to see the story told.
Okay, so I think this is about. the 1985 draft lottery. And it's basically an Ocean's 11 style heist featuring members of the New York Knicks organization rigging the lottery. In my version, it's like old Knicks all getting together to freeze that envelope.
And anytime you can get the movie star magnetism of a character like James Dolan, you want.
Well, I think somebody would want to play Walt Frazier, though. That's like a good, you could get a costume design Oscar nod for just his outfit.
Or do you do the thing where it's just larger in life where you only see the back of him?
Oh, yeah.
And it's, and like, but it's always doing fun stuff, like catching a fly.
Catching a fly with his hand.
Every there like a door opens and amazing music's playing. They're like, yeah, you got it, Walt.
Oh man, that guy's a card, isn't he?
Obviously, JD and the Strange Hat does the soundtrack though.
Yeah, of course.
My
favorite band. Have you ever seen them live though? They're really like once you see them live, you'll really like start to appreciate.
I've been picking up the bootlegs recently.
And Canal Street. Yeah, I remember too. I mean, like I went to go see Radiohead, but then this other band came on before. Not really a aesthetic match, but I was like, all right, fine. Cool.
Okay.
All right, Sean. I'm sorry, man. You're really derailing the show. We got to keep this thing going.
Yeah, I know.
But here's the next question. You can go back in history and attend any single game in NBA history. Which game are you choosing?
I'm watching the Kareem Finals MVP because I'm not a Lakers fan, but I don't hate any team in the NBA as much as the Boston Celtics. And just that like moment of release for. Because they lost like seven finals to the Celtics or something like that. Whatever the clinching game is in 85, I want to see that.
Okay.
Just for the, I think the experience be, but it's the magic of Laker Nation. And it ruined everybody from that point on.
That was, you get to see the beginning of the end.
Now they can't feel real joy anymore. But,
oh, no.
You know.
Like I said, we need like the methadone equivalent of winning constantly or else it's bad news. We get the sweats.
Yeah. But like seeing how sad Danny Ainge would be. Oh, that would be great.
Just licking the tears off his cheeks.
Like Red Auerbach breaking a cigar in half.
I know what I'm making the AI do later.
Yeah.
Sean, what's the best thing to eat at the Chase Arena?
They have these chicken bake sale Betty chicken sandwiches. They're really fried chicken sandwiches. They're great.
Oh, wait, what's bake sale Betty?
It's like the brand? A little Oakland place that makes pies and fried chicken.
Ooh,
really good. Yeah.
Oh,
get a pie. No. I mean, the real location is also good.
I bet. I love that entire combination of words. And I'm gonna go with this next question, Sean. You can take any former Warrior and pair him with Steph, Clay, and Dre. Which former Dub would you like to see them play with?
I really think he was a man out of time. He was in the wrong era.
Chris
Anthony
Gatlin.
Randolph. Randolph gets in there. Oh, the things he could do with Steve Kerr as his coach.
I thought you were going to pick Chris Gatling, but I guess
I mean, I like they had, you know how his nickname was the Gatling gun?
Yeah.
The Warriors announcer at the time was Steve Albert, like lesser than Kenny Albert. And he would always call him the Energizer. And pronounce it like that. And everyone's like, he has the most obvious nickname.
Chris Gatling.
He just comes in and shoots all the time. He's the Gatling gun. And they were like, the Energizer is in it. Like, no.
He keeps Gatling.
It wasn't like he was a starter that played all the time either. He played like short spurts. It was like,
right. Oh,
so frustrating.
Maybe he was just, you know, pro gun control.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I like that.
What is your boldest postseason prediction for this year?
My boldest prediction is gonna be that at least two low seeds win in the Western Conference in the first round.
Low seeds.
I like that.
Two 5-10s are gonna win the first round series.
So you think Lakers and
Warriors are going to win.
Littering and...
But I also think the Clippers have a more decent chance against the Suns than it seems like. Just
because... Yeah, maybe.
They got a lot of dudes. I don't think Paul George is coming back, but Kawhi is just... now that he's playing like 45 minutes a game, like...
Yeah.
Back to robotic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't tell. I had the Clippers on my team that I think is being underrated in the... odds and the betting but I took them off just because I feel like I might still just have that old man. Like, you know, when Doc Rivers trades for a player that beat him up in the playoffs 6 years before, and you're like, yo, he's not still that dude. Like, I'm wondering if that's what I got with Kawhi. I mean, he looks really good this season, but like,
you just see him stepping all over your boy.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still like,
can't turn your back on that guy in the playoffs. Yeah. I'll tell you that much.
What I would love to see is, I mean, I don't think it's very likely, but you could see a Clippers Warriors conference finals. And I think the Warriors would just have, front office executive Zaza Pachulia and just stand him courtside at all times. Like, remember that, Kawhi? Remember that? Yeah.
Remember him?
Don't take a step back.
And finally, Sean, the most important of them all when you come on this show, Miles or Jack?
Ooh, I got to pick Jabari again. I think he did such a good job today. He's really killing it.
He got
it today.
Picked even when I was co-hosting.
Did he get picked all the time when you were out? Or when I was out? He got picked all the time when you...
He's fired.
A conspiracy.
I mean, we can't fire him, but if we had that kind of power,
we would. No, we wouldn't. This show would be absolutely nothing without him. But he does not deserve to be picked.
Just because he is the absolute bones of this show and we're merely like a toe callus means nothing.
Every word that I said on
He's writing
podcast.
What I'm saying right now.
He's just been texting me jokes and insights. And he's actually been FaceTiming me on my other laptop.
Just like, holding up cue cards.
Yeah, it's like this.
Yeah. Wow. Well, okay. Well, look, we got it. That's fair enough. And a diplomatic choice as well. Yeah. But Sean Keane, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Before we get your information, we do want to tell people about the Boosty Suites of the Week. We asked the listeners out there for their own play-in tournament predictions. And let's look at the results. 64% of y'all said a play-in team would eventually win a first-round series. And it seems a majority of them believe it will be the Lakers. Oh, wow. Oh. I hope you're right. And if you're not, then shame on you for getting my hopes up. And our Boosties listeners of the week were at @Michael_Loris and predicted the Lakers would eventually smash the Grizzlies. I'll stick around for that. At @Baney84 predicted a conference finals run from the Lakers. Wow. And at Ched Earthling, who is a Celtics fan, predicts a Celtics versus Lakers finals. That would really be interesting. But so make sure you give us a follow on Twitter at @MadBoosties, BOOSTIES. And also, before we go, Jack, who are in your conference finals and who are in your finals?
Conference finals, East Celtics, Bucks. I know. I'm a little edgy. West, we can go Nuggets. Can it be Nuggets, Suns?
No,
they're second round.
Kings, Warriors, Grizzlies, potentially, or Lakers, Timberwolves, maybe. Who knows?
Nuggets, Grizz.
Nuggets, Grizz?
Yeah, Nuggets, Grizz.
Okay. And then the final?
Grizz, Celtics.
Wow. Ooh, that's a fun Grizz series. Celtics.
That's a, that I like a fun that. Series. Okay, yeah. Sean Keane, who are in your conference finals and who are in your finals?
I'm going with Warriors, Suns, Bucks, Celtics, and then I got to pick the rematch. I'm picking the rematch, Warriors, Celtics.
Wow. Whoa.
Okay, he's back.
This is going to be thrown in my face in about a week when the Warriors go down 0-2 in Sacramento.
Right? I'm going to get, obviously, the Western Conference Finals are going to be, you know what? I think I need a little bit of revenge on my way to the finals. So it's going to be the Lakers and the Suns. And then the Eastern Conference is going to be Bucks, Sixers.
On my way to the finals.
And then Bucks, it's going to be Sixers. Jack and Miles.
Wow.
In the finals.
That would be so Lakers, big for this show.
Well, is that the fourth time they got to get some revenge for 83?
Hey, if the NBA, I mean, we've already given you credit for saying that you could fix the 1985 draft.
Right.
Let's make this happen for ratings of Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Obviously, your number one priority as a league.
Yes.
This would be huge for us. So come on.
For the little guy, please. And the Lakers. For the little guy, please. So we'll see. I have a feeling I'm wildly inaccurate, but boy can dream, can he? Sean, where can people find you and support you and all that, man?
Okay. My album's going to be called America's Uncle Dad. It'll be out at the beginning of this summer. You can go to Blonde Medicine Records. That's blondemedicine.com. Round Ball Rock is my basketball podcast. Twitter.com/RoundRockPod. Patreon.com/RoundRockPod. And you can also read me at Yard Barker and Giants Baseball Insider because it's baseball season.
Love that. Love that. So check that out.
Oh, and I'll be at the San Francisco Punchline on April 25th.
Oh, love it there. Love it there. Love it there. Yeah. Do they still have that weird mural on the wall? Oh, they do. The
Sacramento one's amazing because there's not really a skyline. And one of the biggest buildings is actually a jail. So...
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Or like that one weird like train yard out of nowhere that I always feel like I'm like passing by on the way to the airport. I'm like, what is that? They're like, yes, trains used to go through there.
Yeah, it's a really weird pyramid. There's a ziggurat in West Sacramento, actually. And some crazy designer made it and no one wanted to use it. So now it's a government building in a ziggurat in West
Sacramento. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, but may they light the beam from now until eternity. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. You know, we're going to be back next week where I will be basking in the accuracy of my take, obviously. And if I'm wrong, I don't care. I keep it moving. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in. Check you later. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.